These words of Jesus are found in chapter 7 of Matthew, verses 7 through 14. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask him for a loaf, would give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, would he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Therefore, however you want people to treat you, so treat them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it.
A couple of weeks ago, my family and I took some time for vacation, whatever that means in the pandemic season. We didn't go anywhere except for one day. It was actually a lot more restful than I expected it would be. But for the day trip, we just went up north a little bit to visit my wife's parents. And on the way, as we were on the interstate, my wife and I got into a discussion just about how stressful everything is right now in the midst of this pandemic. And in her line of work as a counselor, and also in my line of work as a pastor, just as we interact as humanity, we talked about how often we sort of look at reality around us, how we sort of see the world, how we see our lives, how things are going. And it's all part of the story that we are telling ourselves. We may be telling ourselves the story that things are going well, we're doing great, we are blessed. Depending on the season, we might be telling ourselves a story about how hard everything is, about how uncertain everything is, maybe even how unfair everything is. And so wherever it is that we are in life, whatever path we are on, we often find ourselves telling a story. And then seemingly out of nowhere, we heard this voice say, it's sort of like him. For a second, we were like, huh? And it was our son in the back seat. He said, it's like him. It's like when he lost his cheese and he thought how unfair it was. And instead of going out and finding new cheese, he decided that he was going to stay right where he was and tell himself a story about how unfair the world is. Now, of course, my son was talking about a book that he recently read called Who Moved My Cheese? It might be a story that you have read or at least heard about. The story of Who Moved My Cheese involves four characters. Two of them are mice, and two of them are described as little people. And the four of them are living in, essentially, what is a maze. And every single day in this certain part of the maze called Cheese Station C, a certain amount of cheese is dropped into their area every day. And so they all base their day, they base their life, this reality, around the routine of when that cheese is going to arrive. And so it is very certain and is very safe, is very comfortable, until, of course, a day comes when the cheese does not appear. And so the two mice decide that they are going to go elsewhere in the maze. Even though they've never been in any other part, they decide to scurry through and discover another source of food. The two little people, one is him, the other is Ha. They are a little bit more reserved in trying to figure out exactly a new move to make. And Ha finally decides, I'm going to venture out as well. I'm going to see if I can find cheese somewhere else. Hem wants nothing to do with that. He decides to stamp his foot, and he decides to grumble and complain about how unfair it is that the cheese has not appeared the same way that it always has since they can remember. So rather than going out and finding new cheese, as my son Ben said, he told himself a story about how unfair it was that things have changed. Now, of course, this is all a narrative story to explain how hard change can be from time to time, how scary it might be, and how sometimes, instead of going out into the mystery, into the unknown, to discover something new, we instead just want to stay where it is familiar and have our cheese come to us. Change, as we know, is hard. In fact, more to the point, it's not even necessarily change that is hard. It is those times when we have to be changed, when change happens to us, out of our control, out of our knowledge, out of our expectation. We make changes every day, as long as we are in control. It is when those uncontrollable changes happen to us that oftentimes, instead of going with the flow, of going into that new journey, that new experience, we instead just want to focus our attention and time on energy, on wishing and dreaming how it used to be. Now, of course, we need to admit that some change is harder than others. It is one thing to kind of complain about the inconvenience that change can bring about with us. It is, of course, a whole other reality when those changes happen to us that are far more oppressive and far more harmful. Changes like systemic injustice and racist policies. These are changes, these are stories that are forced upon certain people, and whether they are able to wish about a new reality or dream about how life used to be, these changes impact their lives so much that they don't really have time necessarily to think about how convenient things used to be, because they're so trapped in the way things are now. It is much more complicated than just telling a story about how unfair things are. These are oppressive stories that have been forced upon individuals. And so I've been thinking about, you know, in the wake of this racist tension that we find ourselves in, how these policies, how these actions and behaviors, how these cultures, how these ideologies, in fact, even theologies, have been so harmful. In the midst of a pandemic season that we find ourselves in, what stories are we telling ourselves? What stories are we willing to be a part of? As we continue on this mountain with Jesus, we continue the story that is told in the Gospel of Matthew, how Jesus is on this mountain with several disciples, with a huge crowd standing below, trying to listen to everything that Jesus is saying. And we find ourselves once again on that mountain with Jesus, perhaps even seating comfortably at this point as we have been listening to him week after week after week. And today we hear him say these words: "Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." A lot of times we focus on the asking, that Jesus will provide what it is that we ask. But how much do we focus on the knocking? How much do we focus on the searching? And perhaps now in this season that we find ourselves in, maybe we're doing more searching than anything else. There's actually a sequel to this book, Who've Moved My Cheese. It's called Out of the Maze. And it continues telling the story of him. Now, in the previous story, the two mice and the character Haw, they all venture out into the mysterious unknown. And not only do they discover that new cheese, but perhaps even more importantly, they discover something about themselves. They discover that they are able to go along with the changes that happen in life. Hem, of course, is still stuck in that old cheese station, waiting for things to change for him. And so this new book follows his story. And a new character arrives and is able, slowly, to help give him the hope and the courage he needs to venture out himself into that unknown. And towards the beginning of his journey, this one part really stuck with me, because it describes him putting into this backpack some of the tools that he thinks he might need. And as he puts this backpack upon himself, as he straps himself in, he very timidly, perhaps even incredibly scared, takes that first step out of his station, which is familiar and comfortable and safe, and he ventures out into that dark unknown. And I found myself really captured by how scared Hem was, and yet still finding the courage to take that first step. And so we see that it's not always bravery that allows us to walk into the wilderness, that allows us to walk into that new. But it does show us that that hope can be stronger than our fear. Even though Ham had absolutely no idea what he was walking into, even though he was scared, he was able to take that first step. And often, at the beginning, that is all we really need. It reminded me of another story, the great epic tale, Lord of the Rings, in which Frodo is given that ring of power and the mission to go out and to take it somewhere where it can be destroyed so that the world may be safe. And as he's walking out of his home, as he's walking out of the place that he has always known into the world that has always been reality for him, he remembers something his uncle told him. It is a dangerous business, Frodo, going out your door. You step onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to. Now, as the story goes, as his journey goes, he ends up in the destination he thought he was supposed to be, that he was supposed to stop, that his journey, his mission would be over. It is a town, a city that is very comfortable, that is very safe, and he thought that is where he was supposed to take the ring. And so as all of these other characters are gathering around, talking about, okay, so now what do we do? Where is the ring supposed to go? How do we end this? They start arguing amongst themselves as to who is supposed to take it farther, where it should go, what should happen to it. And as all of these other characters who are much taller than Frodo, who are much mightier, much stronger, as they bicker among themselves, Frodo stands up and he says, I will take the ring. I will take it where it needs to go. But I don't know the way. We are called oftentimes to go. We are called to search. Even in those times when we have absolutely no idea where we are supposed to be going. And perhaps Jesus is acknowledging this to us and with us as he continues his sermon. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road is easy, which leads to destruction. And there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard, which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Maybe even taking just one of those words and changing it a bit, there are few who search for it. You might remember in Pastor David's video that he offered us this last week, a narrow gate typically in this historical context was used so that individuals had to go through the gate one at a time. The narrow gate was typically used at night when the city was most guarded, but also potentially the most vulnerable. And any band of bandits or villains could come through that gate and take over the city. So in order to do this, they placed a protective measure so that in order to get through this city, you had to go through a narrow gate, which typically meant taking off everything that you had, all of your possessions, your armor, potentially your weapons, so that you were the most vulnerable you could be, so that those in the city felt safe. And so Jesus understands this historical context, and he puts it in the midst of his message in his story, that there are many who can go through the wide gate when everything is safe and comfortable. But in that period of darkness, in those times when we have to leave behind everything that makes us who we are we willing to go through that narrow gate, which doesn't lead into a city? It leads into life. And of course, the question is, are we willing to go? Are we willing to go through that narrow gate? Are we willing to go through that period of vulnerability? Or is it easier? Is it more comfortable? Is it safer to stay where we are? It reminds me of that story by Dr. Seuss, Oh, the Places You Will Go. Story about a boy who is venturing off on his own, and the narrator stays with him almost as a guide, telling him that there are places he will go which are vast and beautiful and exciting. There are places he will go that are mysterious, perhaps even dangerous and discomforting. And in the midst of this, he will find many paths, paths that are well-tread, that are soft, that are easy, paths where so many others have gone before him. And then there will be other journeys, other paths that are much harder because almost no one has taken them. And then even in the midst of all of that, there is perhaps even a more popular place, a place that is perhaps the easiest to find, to go to, and especially to stay. This, the narrator tells him, is the waiting place. Waiting for a train or a bus to come, or a plane to go or the mail to come, or the rain to go or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow, or waiting around for a yes or a no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. Waiting for the fish to bite, or waiting for wind to fly a kite, or waiting around for Friday night, or waiting perhaps for their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or a better break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig with curls, or another chance. Everyone is just waiting. I find myself thinking about this image from time to time, and maybe even on a theological level, wondering, is this waiting place, is it hell? Is it heaven? Last week at our 9:30 service, our 11:20 band sang one of our more popular songs, a song that they sing quite often, and it's a song that I look forward to every time they do sing it, which is called Call Me Higher. And every time I listen to that song, I think about the journey that those characters, those singers are on. And ever since last Sunday when they sang it, I've been thinking about the words. I could just sit. I could just sit and wait for all of your goodness. Hope to feel your presence. And I could stay. I could stay right where I am and hope to feel you. Hope to feel something again. And I could hold on. I could hold on to who I am and never let you change me from the inside. And I could be safe. Oh, I could be safe here in your arms and never leave home, never let these walls down. But you have called me higher. You have called me deeper, and I will go where you lead me, Lord. We could stay. We could stay and wait where it is comfortable, where everything is structured, where everything is organized, where everything is familiar. We could stay where it is safe and where it is comfortable. I could stay. I could stay right here where there are boundaries, where there are limits, where I know my place. I could stay where it is safe and comfortable. But we are not always called to go or to stay where it is comfortable and safe. Sometimes we are called to go into that mystery, into that wilderness, into that uncertainty, even into that chaos that we call change. We may wish to stay with Jesus on this mountain, to sit with him and just listen to him talk, to listen to him preach and teach, to give us these words that sound so rich and helpful. But eventually Jesus is going to go down from this mountain and go back with the people. And he's going to ask us to follow him. There's a great part of the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark. It's a piece of the story that is not shared very often. Jesus has just come onto the scene. He has gathered a few of his disciples, and they are traveling from town to town, community to community. And in this time, he is using his divine miraculous gifts to heal, to comfort, to restore blindness, to heal those who are sick. And in the midst of this, he is inviting his disciples to go along, to not only witness these miracles, but also to participate with them. And all day, every day, from sunrise to sunset, they are healing and curing people. And to his followers, to his disciples, this is the greatest thing they have ever experienced. And so one night when they are completely exhausted after a full day of healing and teaching, of providing miracles, everyone is asleep. And very early, before dawn, Jesus gets up and he goes off by himself to pray. And as dawn rises, so do the disciples. And they're looking around excitedly for Jesus because they want to continue this work. And they search and they search. And finally, they find Jesus in that solitary place on his knees praying. And they say, "Master, Master, it is time. You need to get up. We've got to go back into town because there's more people for us to help. There are more people for us to cure. We have to continue." And Jesus doesn't move. He doesn't open his eyes. He doesn't look at his followers. He continues to kneel on the ground, his eyes closed. And you can almost imagine the excitement and the energy, perhaps even the positivity, perhaps even the smiles of their disciples slowly fade as they're wondering why Jesus doesn't get up. And finally, Jesus opens his eyes and he says to them, "Let us go to the next town." And the disciples are confused. They're saying, "But Jesus, there are still more people here for us to help. There are still more people for us to cure." Jesus says, "Let us go. Let us go to the next town so that I may proclaim the message. For that is what I was sent to do." What are we sent to do? Jesus tells us to get today, enter through the narrow gate. Enter through that gate which is small, which may seem confining. Enter that narrow gate in which we have to take off all of our baggage, all of the things that we think make us who we are, including that protection, perhaps even those weapons that we know so well. Drop all of it and come through this gate. For that is where I am. It is where I am going. And it leads to eternal life. Walking through this gate means that we have to step into periods, seasons, realities of change, sometimes even chaos. But chaos is not always a bad thing. It is through these times of mystery and uncertainty that we make new discoveries, discoveries about the world, discoveries about other people, the people who we are to treat the way we want to be treated. We make new discoveries about ourselves. Most importantly, we make new discoveries about God, about who God is, about where God is going, about how God is calling us to follow. Are we willing to follow? Are we willing to go into those places of mystery, of chaos, of change? Because that's where Jesus is going. What story do we want to be a part of? Let us pray. Gracious God, we could stay here. We could stay where it is comfortable, where it is familiar, where it is safe. Where nothing can change us. But you have called us higher. You have called us deeper. Will we follow you? Will we eventually come down from this mountain where we have heard you proclaim the message that we may go and share with the world? God, we confess of our fear
of our uncertainty, not knowing which direction we should go, where we should place our feet. May we continue to hear your story, not only with our ears, but with our eyes, with our hearts, with our spirits. And as we encounter those along the way, may we share your story of transformation, of grace, and of love. May you help us to never stop searching for you. The journey that always has the most value, the most gifts, is always the hardest. We know that we are going through a very hard and complicated, uncertain journey now, and we know that it is harder for some than it is for others. But yet we have also seen the ways that you, the church, have responded to each other, to the community, even the state and the world. We see in ministries of giving, not just of material possessions like food and supplies, but also phone calls, letters, driveway visits, happy birthdays out in the houses of people. We are continuing to be on that journey together, grabbing along anyone whom we can find who is also looking for that guidance, that hope, that love. We don't know what the future is going to bring, but we can be assured in these words that Jesus gives us, enter through the narrow gate. It is not the easiest, it is not the most popular, and it causes us to put behind a lot of what we think we need. But as we travel through, as mysterious and chaotic as it seems at times, we come out on the other end with something even more powerful than we ever imagined. Life. Life does not stop just because we are in a pandemic. Life does not stop just because this physical space may be closed. Life does not stop because things are not the way they used to be. Life continues. Will we stay in our waiting places, hope for things to go back to the way they were? Or will we finally eventually come down from this mountain and go back out into the world? Because that is where Jesus is going. So may we go, as fearful as it may seem at times, may we go believing in the faith, in the hope, in the promise that where Jesus goes, we are invited to go too. And may we love others as he loves us. Amen.